Futures. Up next, it's hour one of KSEO Presents the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSEO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Dr. Future Show. Yes, our last week of summer, really.
It's an Indian summer at that.
You think? It's been so warm. Like Boulder Creek felt like Southern California.
That's right. And it's lingering through September.
Yeah,
fall
I hope so.
Will be a little later this year.
That's right. Mrs. Future and I are going to take off for a little event known as Symbiosis tomorrow. We're going to experience what we have heard is a Burning Man level experience, but without the dust.
Yes, I've been insisting on a festival that includes water, that includes something a little less drastic than Burning Man.
There's vendors, right? So you can buy food there. Well, yes. Burning Man doesn't have vendors except for coffee.
Yes.
Ice.
But this event does have a lot of exceptional art and artists, and especially the music lineup is going to be really epic. I'm very excited. We're heading out tomorrow.
All right. We have a jam-packed show today. We have, for the second half of this hour, we have Taylor Barcraft in the studio who's going to really look at some of the stuff from Apple. You know, there's been a lot of controversy about losing the headphone jack and all that, and we'll be looking at what's up in the Apple world.
Yeah, we're going to get the lowdown, the upside, downside.
And I do believe David Bloom is scheduled for our second hour. He's going to come in. He's a local guy who's setting up a whole new way of thinking about fuel.
Well, it's not that new.
Well,
I mean,
that's true.
He authored a book many years ago, Alcohol Can Be a Gas, David Bloom, and he's very popular in the alternative fuel community, and we're going to talk to him about his local facility.
And a small fuel plant that uses local waste to create fuel-grade alcohol.
Right, yes. Compost your garden into your own alcohol-based fuel. That's his fundamental insight.
Exactly. I'm kind of wondering, because I think fuel-grade alcohol is real similar to, like,
moonshine.
Drinkable ethanol. Right. So I'm going to see what the difference is.
Yeah.
Can you run your car on moonshine?
Well, I suppose if you know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't think I could, but somebody could.
Made it from my garden waste?
That's right.
Anyway, we'll find out the details second hour.
All right. Distill your fuel. It's good for the planet.
Yeah.
Okay. That gives you a little preview. Meanwhile, here on the DrFutureShow.com website, of course, we have our famous links page where Dr. Future has been scouring the internet and coming up with things he thinks are insightful and worth talking about. So head to DrFutureShow.com to our links page and we'll share those articles with you.
Well, we're going to share them with you right now.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting. We've been reporting on how Uber has been going autonomous in their cars.
Yeah.
Well, the Lyft co-founder says most of its cars will be autonomous in 5 years.
There you go. The new fleets will not have drivers. They'll just have passengers.
Lyft threw down the ultimate challenge, a majority of autonomous vehicles for Lyft within a mere 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess
it's a bold claim.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the Lyft co-founder, John Zimmer.
It'd be kind of fun if the autonomous cars could be gamified so that the drivers could be driving them remotely from their homes and sort of getting paid as taxi drivers, but not having to like ride around
in
the cars.
You'd be the emergency driver at home?
Yeah. Right? Because somebody has to be standing by to take over the wheel in case of mechanical failure.
Yeah,
but does that person have to be sitting in the car or can they be,
a drone pilot somewhere else?
Yeah, somewhere else. Exactly. And of course, this involves the requisite skills that will be necessary to go to Mars. Before we can ship our bodies there in the perfect containers, we're going to have to send our robots and our sensors. And so you may as well start practicing on the automatic cars.
Yeah, I want to talk to my remote driver. Yeah, I can see it now. I like the idea, though. It is another level of complexity to have remote control to the cars.
Yeah, I'm probably the only one that's thinking it's a good idea.
I thought about that. I thought about
really?
But yeah, and it kind of makes sense. But it is another level of sophistication to have a quality remote control system that allows you to remote control a vehicle from a distance. Not that we can't do it, but it is a whole magilla to equip cars to do that kind of thing,
that's
especially
true.
With latency delay issues.
And we're still on the cutting edge of trying to equip cars just to have enough local sensors to know how to avoid accidents and protect passengers and protect pedestrians.
Especially when things involving split-second timing, you know, and the latency delay is a killer issue. Probably won't need remote drivers, but it'd be nice to be able to remote control devices and be there. We've been to conferences where a little robot comes up to you and it's got like a face of somebody on
it. There you go. There are automatic walking. You can do automatic walking. Why
That's
not
true.
Automatic driving?
It's just a little bit more critical in terms of potential accidents. Yeah, remote presence at parties and or social, not even social, I mean business events where you show up as a robot, you know, with your face on. Works pretty well, actually. I enjoyed those little things. So they say within 5 years, the Lyft fleet will be autonomous. It says by 2025, says Zimmer, private car ownership will all but end in major U.S. cities.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. That's like saying
in
because of the printing press, all of a sudden handwritten books will end. There will always be a market for things that are skill sets and that are...
So you don't agree with this time frame?
Well, I just think that it breaks down to subgroups. You know, there are groups of people who will only do autonomous cars and or walk. You know, that is a preference set. But there will always be people who would prefer cars that they drive autonomous cars.
He likens it to how Netflix has replaced DVDs that will all go to streaming and forget having to own these little lumps of plastic everywhere.
Yeah.
Why own a car when you can just hail one like a taxi anywhere and take it where you want to go? I think the key is at a reasonable price.
At a reasonable price.
And especially in city environments where it's a pain in the butt to park a car all the time and to deal with driving.
Exactly.
It's a headache.
And
who
with
wants
all
to do
of
it,
the
you know?
Extra expenses of owning a car, not just the fuel, but also the parking tickets, the garage fees, the maintenance and repairs. Owning a car is a big ticket item.
When you could be staring at your phone instead.
Yeah, right. Not to mention how much time it takes.
Yeah, I'd much rather be watching YouTube movies.
Right. And especially in cities where, like in San Francisco right now, there is no parking. It's really a bear. So the idea of just flagging a cab and getting dropped off is definitely going to seem like an advantage. All right, folks, we're heading to a break, and this is the Dr. Future Show on KSEO. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. So going from such things as autonomous cars, let's go a little bit into the past regarding one of the great mysteries of modern times, the Antikythera device.
Oh, one of our favorites, the original computer.
Yes.
2,100 years ago or something?
Found off the shore in a shipwreck near the Antikythera Island in the Greek islands just over 100 years ago. It represents the most sophisticated ancient device ever found. It has over 27 gears in it, for example, and ancient technology usually had a maximum of 3 gears, that much more complex. And supposedly, it was able to track many rhythms of the galaxy and the solar system and the planet itself, and even predict earthquakes. That'd be nice, but predict eclipses. Fascinating thing. Anyway, we're still figuring that out. But what's interesting, there's some new news about how scientists have uncovered a skeleton from the wreck.
Wow.
This is really interesting because ancient skeletons from Greece are few and far between, especially with viable DNA in them that we can analyze, in which case this is what they have, viable DNA from buried sediment. Long buried bones, 150 feet underwater. That ship is most famous for things like ancient bronze statues, silver coins, ceramic jars, marble sculptures. It was quite a treasure trove coming from Greece to Rome at the time. And the Antikythera device was one of the treasures on board that ship, the world's oldest computer. Maybe this is a human that maybe actually played with the Antikythera device. I'd be curious, huh?
Sure. So the bones of somebody who was on board.
Actually, it was a second wreck, a smaller one, that was associated with the larger ship.
Hmm.
They'd be traveling in a small fleet, perhaps, something like that. They found lead sheets from the hull of the main ship that were sourced from mines in northern Greece, and they deduced from the preservation of the human remains that they must have been buried by organic material right after they sank. Though that, and they found a cup from an earlier expedition that bore the Greek name Pamphilos on it, P-A-M-P-H-I-L-O-S. So that's helping them figure out the ship's demise.
Hmm.
They think that it was possibly a grain-carrying ship, the super tankers of the ancient world that was going with the treasure ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that they also frequently carry tourists. I guess like some of our ships today, you can actually get a cargo ship and travel on it. They usually have a few cabins for tourists.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the passengers just tucked their little computer device in their suitcase and got on board, and next thing you know, they got buried under the sea.
Oops. So we have modern DNA analysis techniques, so we'll be checking out that skeleton to see what's up. It's quite the find, and probably something you won't hear much about on the news too much.
Yeah, so they found a 2,100-year-old tourist, or perhaps a galley slave, or somebody who was buried between the top deck and the lower deck of the boat.
But did he have a second Antikythera device in his pocket?
Well, I suppose once they excavate him, we'll find that out.
That there were two of them? That would be very interesting. They're suggesting that, you know, this article. Possibly there's another one.
Interesting.
Anyway, we have a link to that. It's from the Washington Post on the drfutureshow.com/links page. So if you're curious about those things, check it out.
Well, and this is the first time that a human skeleton has been recovered from an ancient shipwreck since the advent of DNA technologies that could analyze that DNA.
Yes.
So it's a big deal. Big deal in the archaeological world.
I guess we'll learn a lot about Greek DNA.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. Also this week, this is very ironic because this is the week that the Snowden movie came out, about Ed Snowden. We saw that last Wednesday night when it was in the theater, but with
Stone.
A live Stone
interview.
Snowden interview immediately following the film.
Right, interviewing the main actors and Oliver Stone on his birthday and Snowden on remote screen. So all of them together in one room.
I think it's worth seeing. I think the film is really an interesting portrayal of the man behind the deed. It really shows how one person can affect the lives of many in a debatably positive way.
Yeah. And of course, Snowden, being on the live screen, was asked about to verify some of the facts in the movie. And he said, well, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to be a spoiler alert here. But he said some of it was metaphorically represented as opposed to actually represented. And Oliver Stone, of course, is well known for stating that he does dramas. He's not doing this as a history. He's doing it as a personal story. And so you learn a lot about Snowden's family. You learn a lot about his love life. And, of course, it embellishes on the drama from, like, Citizen Four, where he chooses to escape the country and divulge knowledge to the Guardian that, of course, opens the whole debate about the mass surveillance of the U.S. on the rest of the world.
And the issues of privacy and what really is privacy in this day and age of networked communications. I like his perspective in that we have privacy within our own minds to fabricate our belief system. We need some place where we come to conclusions, where we think about things, where we try on different ideas to come with our own ideas, and that this is a private place within ourselves that we're figuring things out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a continuum from the privacy of your own interior world to the shared space of social interactions to the public space of societal actions. And you want all of those things to be as free as possible and as intelligent as possible.
So along those lines, to think about this, DARPA, the Defense Department's R&D wing, has put forth a plan for a total surveillance of low-flying drones over cities.
Oh, how's that feel, Dr. Drone Pilot? What do you think about that? You're going to, like,
called an aerial dragnet system.
Do a little signaling to your DARPA overlords.
Aerial Dragnet.
Yeah, your big brother.
Well, it's funny that they
Your drone big brothers.
Aerial Dragnet. I think they picked up an idea that we had at Maker Faire last year with Andrew Johnston, the designer of the Burning Man. And that was to fly a series of low-level drones over Burning Man and record, not in video necessarily, but record using 3D mapping software, the entire geometry of the city down below. You know, the tents, the building structures,
right. Let's create a virtual world with drone surveillance. That sounds cool.
The drones create a three-dimensional world, which then could be used to recreate the city. In our case, it was Burning Man. In this case, it could be any town USA. And then inhabit it with virtual inhabitants, people who want to visit there later on. For example, say you know that New York City has an incredible 4th of July display over the water. So this would be a virtual world where you go and you can meet new friends there, and the 4th of July display is like ambient background for new dynamics and new activity that are happening.
Sure. So this could thwart any of the security concerns of people who just feel like anytime there's a crowd, there's going to be a nut job trying to commit violence. And it would sort of create a disincentive to create mass violence in a way that doesn't remove our rights and make us afraid to go outside. Right? It just creates a virtual option.
Yeah, it creates another social space besides a meat space, as we say in physical space. The idea is that you can create a virtual space where people can hang out and meet and feel like a normal conversation is happening there, that sort of thing.
This is the grail, as it were,
in the holodeck
of the virtual
tech,
era. Because we know that the VR worlds in their current state have barely created enough facility for an individual to move around in a virtual world, much less a bunch of avatars to go and meet each other. That's still very sci-fi.
It is very sci-fi, and that's what DARPA is. It's extremely sci-fi, and more in the military context. The Aerial Dragnet's focus is on protecting military troops in urban areas overseas, initially. That's how they get the budget.
Right. So they're going to surveil the surveillance drones and have an overview? Is that
they announced? Yeah, they envision a network of surveillance nodes, each providing coverage of neighborhood-sized urban areas.
Right.
We're almost out of time for this half hour? Okay, well, the next half hour, we're going to be talking about the whole iPhone scene and what's happening there and the controversies going on.
With longevity.
All righty, Rooney. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. This half hour, we have Taylor Barcroft in the studio, our Apple expert.
Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome, Taylor. Glad you're here. We all have heard by now over the last week or so what the Apple offerings are, and many of us are considering an upgrade. And we wanted to get your feedback on this.
I'm a week late, but we got more news that way.
Okay.
And they just started selling the phones on Friday, so.
Really? So they're just new. Are they selling out in the stores like they have in the past?
Oh, yeah. Well, not the regular size. You can get a regular size phone by just walking in.
What they call it, the 7?
Yeah, the 4.5-inch model.
Small, so the people are going for the bigger screens, huh?
4.7, I think it is. 4.7-inch. And then the 5.5-inch model, which is the Plus model, that's back-ordered. You're into October, November.
Well, that's the only one that has the new camera, right? That's one of the big...
The dual camera. There's a wide-angle camera and then a telephoto camera.
Yeah. And that gives you a optical zoom.
Yeah, it gives you the real zoom. You switches from one to the other to give you the real zoom. And then there's another 10x more digital zoom on top of the either one, whichever one you got open.
So it really is, if you're an iPhone camera buff... this is the best camera ever.
Yeah. And that's my problem. I'm not a camera buff.
Yeah.
So
you're
I'm torn.
Last year's model for a camera.
Well, I'm not. It's hard. There's subtle changes inside the phone, the 7, that make it fascinating. Because I'm a perk point guy, I play a lot of video trailers and earn perk points daily. I play on 6 iPads simultaneously.
So this is a way of being able to earn a free
one.
Yeah,
I can get it for almost free. I'm getting my Apple Watch Series 2 free with perk points. And you can apply your perk points to a perk plastic card that acts like a Discover card, so it doesn't matter where you're buying from.
All right, well, let's get back to the phone for a second.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on this whole headphone jack thing being released? I mean, a lot of people are very upset about that, not having a headphone jack, making it completely incompatible with all existing headphones unless they have Bluetooth, I guess.
Sure, it's the old game of, like, forcing people to buy new gear when they're perfectly happy with the gear they already have, buy a new cord that they didn't need before, that kind of thinking.
They come with a lightning headset.
Adapters, right.
It's they come with a lightning headset and an adapter, both.
And an adapter, right. So you plug it into the charging cable, basically, to get your audio now, as well as power. But you can't do both at the same time. The lightning connector, right? That does both power and audio now.
Yeah, well, it always did. It was in the spec to begin with when the lightning came out.
Yeah. And is it better audio than...
It's better audio. The reviews say the audio is better.
Okay.
And Belkin's coming out with a splitter. So for $40, you can plug it into the lightning port, and you get two female ports. One can be for listening to music while you're charging it.
But
yeah, because that was the big criticism, is that you couldn't charge your phone and listen at the same time.
Yeah, it's going to be $40, but still, it's a good Yeah, it's a good solution. It's, you know, compared to the price of the phone, that's not much.
Now, I've heard that the wireless headphones that they're selling for $150 have to be rebooted. It's all in the software, and there's a glitch. They need to upgrade. Apple's working on a fix.
That's not shipping until the
headphones?
Mid-October.
Wireless headphones.
Later October, yeah. The glitches are when you turn the airport off, you lose your cell connection. That's a glitch. That's a pretty big glitch. Another one is some of the phones are hissing. They're making a hissing sound.
Mm. But they'll solve these problems.
So it's so it's not a great time to be first on the block anyway.
Hmm.
I recommend people read an article on Apple Insider called "Too Soon? Apple's New iPhone 7 Ruffles Feathers with Lightning Audio, Home Button Changes." Now, the home button on the 7 doesn't move anymore.
So it's completely...
solid state.
Hmm.
This article is a long article. If you Google it, you can read about the evolution of the Lightning port and the home button both. And they really go into gory detail about why Apple's made the choices they have.
So is the home button now kind of like a built-in trackpad?
No, it's not. It could be, but it's not yet.
Mm.
But it does the same function as a home button, but it's a virtual.
Right. It gives you taptic feedback. There's a taptic vibrating engine right underneath the home button area.
Feedback, which we don't have now.
Right. But people should know there's a setting. If you have a 6 or a 6S or Plus, under General Accessibility Home Button, there's a switch that says Rest Finger to Open. And that'll put it back the way it was before. You don't have to push the button. They're making you push the button default. But if you turn that on, then you still don't have to push the button. And there's also, if you have a 6S or a 6S Plus or a 7 or 7 Plus or an SE, the little 4-inch model, that's A9 minimum, in other words. They have
lift to
wake.
Inside. Yeah. Lift to wake. Yes, I've seen that.
Lift to wake.
iOS 10. So as soon as you pick it up, it wakes up.
Yeah. Fine. It's a miracle.
I notice it turns on all the time in my car.
And
though.
You don't have to push the button. Yeah. See, it says press home button.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that if you flip that switch in the accessibility section.
And it just awakes.
Yeah, it just the home button will turn that on. The home button will wake without you having to punch it. You don't have to punch it. You just rest your finger.
Do you have a sense that this last announcement was kind of not that big of a deal? It was kind of like all about the camera and not much else going on?
No, there's a lot going on. If you read more, there's like an inside iOS 10 series at Apple Insider. And you can read each article. It goes into gory detail about an individual feature. And there's a whole lot of features. And you can find videos on YouTube that will show you 50 new features. And then there'll be another one with 50 more new features. And another one with 50 more new features. There's like over 200 new features.
Mm. Which one's impressed you, though?
Well, there's the text app. Yeah, the text app. Everyone uses texting.
Yeah, so iMessage is one of the most radically changed and improved and expanded.
Yeah, and I use iMessage all the time and also FaceTime. I was hoping that they might have conference calling on FaceTime, but no luck on that yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. I love the audio.
But it's interesting, in my iMessage, for example, I put that URL in for the iStockNow.com website where they show you what's available, what phones are available in each store across the country, across the world. it automatically generated a picture of the website.
In your texting.
Yeah, all you do is put in the URL and all
the website shows up underneath, just like in Facebook.
Yeah, the picture of the website shows up in the iMessage.
Yeah.
It's really fantastic.
That's true. I like that in Facebook, so why not have it in my
app? Oh, they had it in Facebook? Okay, sure, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you put in a www and there it shows up underneath your text. So that happens now in texting.
So there's a lot of stuff going on inside the iPhone 7 that's not readily apparent from looking at it because it looks just like an iPhone 6 Plus or 6 or 6 Plus or 6S or 6S Plus. But that A10 processor with the A10 motion processor, coprocessor, it's pretty powerful. It's quite a bit faster.
Than the A9?
The A9's pretty good too, but it's always getting better, you know.
Right. So, increment. I imagine they're saving some of the good stuff for their 10th anniversary for the iPhone next year.
Yeah, that's true. That might be.
Yeah.
If I can get it with my perk points for no or little money, I'll probably get it, the 7 Plus, in November or December when it's finally available.
Right.
A black one. Stephen Colbert's got a black one. Not the jet black, the regular black
slate
with the black apple.
They got rid of slate black, right?
No, it's a matte black.
Matte black.
Colbert pulled it out of his coat pocket Friday night.
He has one, huh?
Yeah. He said, you didn't get your iPhone yet? I got mine. He showed off both sides.
Now, what about the waterproofing element to that? Is the phone actually
pretty
waterproof?
Pretty waterproof. The speaker grill on the left, as you're looking at the screen on the left side of the Lightning port, is fake. There's no speaker behind it.
Really?
There's only a speaker behind the right-hand port like it always has been.
So what's the left
this one? This one's just a fake grill. There's just nothing behind it. They opened it up at the iFixit, you know, and nothing there.
No, I'm curious.
There's more room for the... I mean, there's room for the Taptic engine that this old audio jack.
And a bigger battery, too, right?
Yeah, it's got a bigger battery than ever before.
What does that translate to?
And it's also got a dual core processor. It's a quad-core processor, and two of those processors run high-powered tasks, and two of them run efficient tasks, like when you're using mail or iMessage.
As opposed
so
to
that's,
just a video.
So that cuts
or
back on the
like
battery
that.
Drain.
Yeah.
So the battery lasts longer than ever, about another hour on the Plus and 2 hours on the regular.
Very nice.
Now, and you have to have iOS 10 installed to run watchOS 3, which is the other excitement.
Yeah. Let's talk about the watch for a second. Unless you have any more questions, Mrs. Future, about the Apple 7?
No.
I think you're going to stick with your 6 and wait till the anniversary.
I'm sticking with my 6, yeah.
Is it just 6 or 6S?
I have a 6.
I have a 6S Plus.
Okay, good. You're almost there.
Almost there. Now, last year's model.
Well, anyway, depending on my perk points, I might pull a trigger on that. I don't know. You know what I really want is I want a Mini Pro.
You want a
iPad Mini Pro. That's what I want.
Me too.
Yeah, but I don't want... No,
they have an
upgrade.
I want the full size.
Yeah, you want the 12-inch. Yeah. I want the 7.9-inch.
Oh, the real Mini.
Pro. Yeah, the real Mini Pro.
Uh-huh. This is a nice size.
And then
it's
what?
A little,
you'll stop using cell phones? What?
No, it's just it's more convenient size.
Yeah.
You have in your lap
one hand,
all the time.
It's
I'm running perk points on my old Mini too, so... But I can only go so far. If you go over like 6 devices, they'll start dinging you for criticizing you for playing too many devices at once.
Yeah, they don't like that.
All right, listen, it's time for our next break, so stay tuned, folks. We've got a little Apple insight with our friend Taylor Barcroft.
The new Apple
Watch.
We'll
get to the watch.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're just talking to Taylor Barcroft about all things Apple in this next 15 minutes. We're now going to look at the new Apple Watch.
Okay, so they got rid of the Sport. There's no Apple Watch Sport anymore. It's an Apple Watch Series 1 or Series 2.
What does that mean? A different size crystal?
The Series 1 is the same size as the original, but it has a dual-core processor like the Series 2 does. But it's not waterproof, and it doesn't have the GPS.
And those are the major new features this year, right? The GPS and the waterproof capability for the Apple Watch. Is it much more expensive than last year?
So $100 difference, but it's $269 starting. The 38 millimeters are $269, and then it's like $299 and $399 for the 48s. in the Series 1 and Series 2. And then they have one high-end. They got rid of all those expensive watches except for the ceramic watch that's about $1,200, $1,300.
Okay. Well, what about my last year's watch? Is it? Do I have to throw it away now? I mean, or is it? Or
well, I'm going to send mine to my son.
What about the software upgrades? I mean,
You get Watch OS 3.
Okay. All right, and what does that give me?
It gives you a dock. Everything's changed. It's faster. There's a dock to hold 10 apps so that you can immediately launch apps.
Your 10 favorite apps.
Yeah, your 10 favorite apps. You can launch them really fast from the dock. They're like in a holding pattern. There is a glitch. I found out that the workout app is not cooperating with a third-party workout app. If I go from the workout app and switch to the Runtastic Pro,
yeah.
When I go back to the workout app, it quits, like you press the end button. So there's no pausing. If you're going to run two different apps in exercise, can't do pausing anymore. So I start with the Runtastic, which doesn't crash.
Yeah.
And then I switch to the workout, and it'll work as long as I don't switch back to Runtastic and back
and
to
that's,
workout.
That's really one of the big benefits of the Apple Watch is that it can be incorporated into your exercise regimen.
Yeah, right? I use it to record all my runs and my walks and my cycling.
Can you do all the things that a Fitbit does with it?
And a lot more, of course. There's all kinds of different apps. It depends on your lifestyle as to what you adopt. Mm-hmm. And you get notifications.
But if you're a runner, it's really good.
It shows up on your watch. Uh-huh. And like I just got an order to stand at 50 minutes of every hour. It says stand. There's also a dial unique to the Series 2 is that you can dial up and down the brightness of the watch. Like when you're in a movie theater where you don't want to have a big bright thing show up suddenly.
Yeah.
You can just dial it up a little bit to see what time it is and then dial it back down.
Oh,
that's
handy.
Unique to the Series 2 with Watch OS 3.
Huh. And battery life?
Bigger battery. It's fatter. It's not 0.9 millimeters thicker. It's the same length and width, but it's thicker and it's got a bigger battery than the Series 1. So it'll last longer. The trade-off is that there's GPS and that's a battery eater.
Hmm. Now, they have male and female versions of this? Is that...
they have two sizes.
I see. So the smaller size
and the
would be
bands.
The bands would be the male.
Yeah, 38 and 42 millimeters.
And they give you more choices in style.
You can use the old bands will work on the new watches.
Okay, so you can just update your watch with, and you keep, if you have a band.
And there's Apple Pay, of course, through the watch. But the main thing is you press that side button and you get that dock displaying your 10 favorite apps. It makes it really easy to switch around to apps.
Now, the new watch also has GPS built in, right? Now, explain to the audience why that's important.
Well, it's important because you can go out and run or cycle without the phone. You don't have to have your phone with you.
For running.
And you can still store 2 gigabytes of music on it, so you can
use. So if you don't have the phone with you, it's still going to measure your steps?
Oh, yeah. Well, it did that already.
The watch is doing that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, with the GPS, then the workout apps, you don't have to do any kind of training like you did with the original Watch OS 1 and 2.
What about the Pokemon Go app? Is that independent also?
There is Pokemon Go for Apple Watch. I don't think it's out yet, but...
That'd be independent of the phone, too?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not a Pokemon Go kind of guy.
Okay, all right. So, I think so, though. I think that's why they have it.
It sounds exciting.
And the brighter and faster the processor, swim proof.
Oh, yeah, it's brighter. It's twice as bright. It's the brightest screen they've ever put out. It's 1,000 nits, which is more than the phone. The phone's brightness is about 800 nits or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And more faces, time faces?
Oh, yeah, and you can change faces by just swiping. You just swipe it. Like, here's what I could do in the theater. Of course, it won't cooperate, right?
So what are you doing? So he's right now, he's swiping his phone and as we speak in front of me, looking at it intensely, being absorbed by the screen.
If you can just swipe
to the left, and you can change it from a butterfly to the earth.
Yeah, this one
Minnie
changes
Mouse.
According to the time of day. It's like dark at night.
Right, I like that one. It's the earth, yeah.
Look at the clouds moving and everything.
I like being able to see the entire solar system.
It's got some animation in it.
At once. Taylor,
I have a question for you. Now, I know you're probably like not one of these guys who actually goes out often, but when you do you like get absorbed in your phone and become like a dangerous pedestrian? Are you one of those people?
No, not at all. I've got all my pockets extended to hold the phone in the pocket.
Oh. You have special tailor-made pockets for this.
Yeah, thing. I found a tailor that would extend my breast pocket.
I see that, yeah.
For $5.
Let's get an extra flap.
And so I gave her like 20 shirts and she, you know, $100.
You're
got
dedicated.
Them all extended.
You are
for
dedicated.
This, for the 5.7.
My friend.
So, no, I don't take it out of my pocket unless I have to. And you can control.
So the watch does everything you need to do.
Yeah, you can control the music and everything from the watch. I don't know. Sometimes if I'm using Runtastic Pro, it takes over the music.
No, Runtastic is your favorite app?
Well, it's the third-party thing that I use for recording. I like it because at the end you can Facebook and tweet your run or your walk or your cycling.
You let people know how much you're exercising.
Yeah, I don't have any file. Nobody's looking
well, if
at
you
my
did.
Stuff.
Well, that's true. A lot of people like the Fitbit because people can compare their results with their friends or relatives.
Well, yeah, those people with friends, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I guess.
Just
I
don't have apply any, to you.
I just Got have it. You and son, yeah, so it's not a big circle. Yeah, and I know you're not looking.
And we're not doing that yet. But you're that might be something worth doing.
Good point.
With you. Yeah,
no need to invest in a Fitbit then.
I do tweet and Facebook the sharing thing at the end of each Runtastic Pro little thing that I do, which is like walk a mile or cycle a mile and a half. Big deal, you know.
Oh, you're looking pretty good, really.
I'm on a diet now. I'm on an all-organic, about all I eat is a salad, and I'm taking all kinds of pills now. I got
looks like the
Bobby Wilder's got me going.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Bobby Wilder's got me completely transformed.
Yeah, well, it's working.
Yeah.
Last time I saw you, you had that classic nerd kind of green pallor that was like a reflection of your screen. You actually have like rose color in your face now. It's like, salads are good.
Well, it's
good
probably
for you.
The ultra high def Sony that I recently acquired.
Oh, really? Why? What does it have? Like a
55-inch 900C XBR.
Really? So you're getting a radiation tan on your face?
I don't know. I love the ultra high def. I'd say it's fun. It's much clearer.
Yeah. The 4K is the new standard.
Even if it's just upscaling, it's really solid.
Mm. So is your watch like reminding you it's time to stand up and get some exercise and you're following
that 10
advice?
Minutes the hour. Every hour it does that. I don't always obey it, though. I just said dismiss and didn't get up.
Does it shock you if you don't do it?
It doesn't punish you.
Doesn't
no, but you don't get credit for it, so it doesn't show up in your rings, in your activity rings,
and your friends,
which I don't care about either.
Because your friends who don't exist aren't commenting on that. So, I guess you could have an AI buddy, that would.
He's got
pay attention
Siri
to you.
Is your
We're
AI
spending
buddy,
a lot of time talking about this technology in this quarter hour, aren't we?
Okay.
Anyway, if you don't have an iPhone already, the Series 2 is a great. Watch is a great way to start. Mm-hmm. And I think that...
Oh, you can have a watch without an iPhone now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it runs without as far as GPS goes. And also you can listen to music through Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. Although I have a problem with the Bluetooth connection between this watch and my headset, but maybe it'll be better. I don't know.
Can
until
you
I
do
get
messaging?
I could come back if you want me to talk about my watch
can
after I get the
messaging
Series 2.
Messaging with your watch if you don't have an associated phone?
No, you'd have to have
the phone with you.
Yeah, normally you've got the phone with you. It's not a really big deal. The idea is that mainly to do exercise with GPS without having to have the phone. If younger people run or cycle with very little on them. My pockets are all set, so the phone is always with me anyway, so I don't think it's a problem.
All right, and you love the Thunderbolt audio switch. Is that what it's called, Lightning. The lightning connector.
Oh, the lightning audio? Like I say, if you read that article that I referenced earlier, and you understand the evolution of the digital audio spec in the lightning spec, it's pretty impressive. Uh-huh. Apple has its reasons, We're not really supposed to question Apple's decisions. We're supposed to go along with the program.
Taylor, you've been hypnotized.
That's the way it works.
So think different doesn't mean think for yourself.
You have to always say, "Oh, okay, whatever you say, Mr. Cook." Yeah.
Hail Apple.
Whatever
Kyle
you
Apple.
Whatever you say, Mr. Schiller, I'm with you all the way.
Yeah, think different.
Yeah, I'm thinking different, like you are. Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, I guess you like that role, huh?
Well, I guess it's better than an exploding phone.
Well, yeah, these exploding phones. Hey, I'm afraid to get on an airplane now.
Yeah, with the Samsungs?
But, yeah, you could.
Just because somebody else might have one? And,
yeah, you blow up a plane. I bet you, I wouldn't be surprised if we do have a plane accident from one of those phones.
Well, I've seen cars and bedrooms and stuff.
That's scary as hell. Yeah. And you know what? Most people are not paying attention to the recall.
All right, thanks.
It's a very small percentage.
Taylor Barcroft, our resident Apple
We almost didn't touch that subject.
Yes, we almost didn't touch it. All right,
thanks. Don't buy Samsung.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Apple. Appreciate that. All right, thanks, Taylor, for being on the show. Appreciate your update on all things Apple.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Contact info?
Yeah.
March.
Yes, let us know when the next big thing happens.
Or next month. Yeah, we don't know which.
We'll be back after the top of the hour with more Dr. Future Show here on KSCO Santa Cruz.